I'm just picturing Bea and Barry, the OC versions of Bea and Barry, sort of like having a party for two in like a dilapidated Pizza Hut building with like little party poppers and a cake, and they're like, "Woo, we're 1 year old," and then they sort of like sit quietly and are like, "Okay, well."
Why is this party so sad?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think they have friends.
We have so many friends that would come.
Maybe they invited Vector to like DJ. Okay. Scratch that. Try again.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want this emo party.
They contact Vector and they're like, it's 1 year. Like, we are going to throw a huge major party and we need a DJ. And like, we're going to absolutely blow the lid off this joint. And we're going to have Pizza Hut galore for everybody to eat. And then actually, it's totally bumping. The place is crowded. Mm-hmm. All the coolest people are there. And the set's being DJed by Vector.
Yes. And we're bumping Dochi. We got Chaos Cola all around.
Yeah. It's the absolute place to be. Forget the first one.
Oh, yeah. We don't need some emo piddly party. It's our 1 year, baby. We're fresh.
It's our 1 year. Go big.
Exactly.
Girl fast. Go big and girl fast.
Gotta girl fast.
That's what this is. Welcome to that party.
Yes. Welcome to the Bea and the Berry.
I'm the Bea.
And I'm Strawberry.
And you're our listener.
Yes. And today we are making history because it is the 1 year anniversary of the Bea and the Berry.
Yeah. There's never been a transition like this from child pop star to adult star. There's never been. I'm really on my controversial female icon shit. JoJo Siwa out here. There's never been a project like this in the Sonic fandom space. And now we're 1 year old and we've done it. We've changed the whole fandom.
Yeah. This is our wrecking ball.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, after this, it's not for kids anymore.
Yeah.
She's just always saying that. She's always saying it's never been done before. It's like, people have made a Sonic podcast before.
Yeah.
Bea and Barry, Bea and Straub's, like, chill.
Yeah. We're not the first, but I can say that nobody does it like us.
Oh. Damn.
If I may.
You may. Yes, we're here on our irregularly scheduled podcast where we talk about all things Sonic fandom and fan content to answer some questions and celebrate you, listener. Actually, this party is not for us. It's for you, because without you here, I mean, we'd probably still be making stuff, but we'd just be talking to each other. And while that's fun, we could do that offline, and we do that offline. We just like to be here with you.
Yeah. And thank you to everyone who has followed us across all of our social media platforms. Yeah. We hit over 100 followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube, which is crazy.
It just feels really major. Yeah.
That's a very sizable room, genuinely.
It sure is. If all of us gathered at the Tarot Parlor / Detective Agency, I mean, that would be too many people for our
small. Yeah, we would probably be violating the occupancy.
Absolutely.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to us and cheering us on for a year. Of course, we got to give a special thanks to the KNGI network and Kyle. Ooh. We know we got onboarded by them this year, and it's been so wonderful being part of that. Thank you to all of our guests who have agreed to come on our podcast and have their time. Yes, we have amazing guests, and the fact that they chose to spend an hour of their lives just chatting with us is so wonderful, and we are so enriched by every single conversation that we have.
Yeah. Thank you to the people who made fan art. Thank you to every single person who has left a comment or asked a question. Thank you to anyone who's reposted or quote tweeted or liked any of our statuses. Thank you to each person who got a tarot commission. I just mean everybody is so generous to us with their time and their engagement and God, I it's so special. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we are incredibly grateful, and it's just like, I'm so happy. I'm genuinely very happy. And I hope that you guys will stick around with us for another year or two or however long, we got this joint popping.
We don't know, but there is a time limit ticking down on us. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. I hope our yapping is enough to repay back even a small bit of the kind attention you have showered upon us. I mean, come on. How'd we get so lucky? I love it. And thank you to Straub for being the absolute best co-host and fandom friend I could have ever hoped for.
No, but thank you to B for being the absolute powerhouse.
Oh, come on.
This podcast. Yes.
We all know who has the real backbone here.
No. Oh, my gosh. You put in the work for this podcast. You put in the work. I honestly am. The reason why this show is so fulfilling is because I genuinely think we just clicked in all the right ways of being really good friends, but also really good, like, business partners.
I know. I'm so thankful for the skills you bring to the table and all the things that you can do that I simply could never have the energy to begin to approach. It's just, I'm so thankful for it.
I love you.
I love you. Let's go again. Let's go another year. Everybody in the pizza tarot table detective agency says cheers.
Yes.
Cheers to the V and the Barry. Cheers to you, listener, supporter.
And while we are in the spirit of celebration, we do have a really fun announcement.
This is crazy.
Guys, which is that we are going to Sonic Expo in Dallas this year in November.
Sonic Expo.
I'm excited. I've never been to Texas. I really hope I really hope it's like Cowboy Carter. That's my one frame of reference for Texas.
I mean, certainly, you know, art imitates life. I will say that. I think, wow, I'm really honored to get to be around while you experience Texas for the first time. As a the resident Southern Belle, Texas does feel like its own world. It's certainly Southern in ways that I recognize and identify with, but it's just, if that was also a major, major city and state.
Yeah. No, I have a friend from Texas, and she would tell me how horses would just, like, go down the roads. I don't know. I hope I can see that. I'd love to see that.
You'll see a horse. I promise you'll see a horse.
Let's fucking go.
I promise. And you can be mad at me if that promise doesn't come true.
Okay. I mean, we'll be seeing a lot of Sonic. And hopefully we will see some of you guys at Dallas, at Sonic Expo Dallas.
That is so crazy.
Oh my God. Sorry. The ice cream truck is, like, being really loud.
Ooh. We pull up to the party, everybody. Yes, we got the ice cream truck.
We got an ice cream truck here at the party.
We got
pull
ice
up.
Cream truck. Little Sonic ice creams for everybody.
Yeah. The little discombobulated ice. Yeah. But we hope to see some of you guys at Dallas. And before you're like, wait, well, we don't know what you look like. No, you will know what we look like.
I think you will.
Yeah. We are very hard to miss.
Yeah. I think you'll know just by the vibe of
vibes.
You know, us squirreling around. You'll be like, those feel like girly pops.
Yeah. You know, girly pops, Sonic and Shadow. That's what you'll see.
Maybe I shouldn't say this here, but I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying to finish what was stolen by the time Expo comes around. Not published. It won't be out yet because I'll have my deadline to finish is Expo, and then I'll start publishing. Mm-hmm. But if I do, the plan is to print a few paper copies of the book to hand out if anybody wants it and or finds us. So no guarantees, but that is my thought. That's my hope, my intention in my heart. And I'll keep you updated on if that intention is coming true.
Yes, of course. You should follow B on Blue Sky if you want to see some of her status updates on that.
Yeah. And speaking of status updates, totally random, off track, not into the BBQ&A unless you count my question. This is my question for the BBQ&A. Have you written at all in the past few weeks, Strupp?
How's
your progress going?
Oh, I have. Great. I think it's been a little bit of like one step forward, one step back for my writing, but I've been writing.
That's major.
So the way that I see it is that like, I am so grateful for the support that I've had with this fic, and I will continue to chip away at it. But I think, like, I don't feel beholden to the worldly ties of this mortal realm, if that makes sense.
Right. You always were kind of like an eldritch being in that way.
Yeah. You know,
the walls of man.
I think because it's like, I don't want to put out a mid-chapter just to put out a mid-chapter.
I feel the same.
You know?
I feel the exact same.
If that means that it's got to bake a while, and also I just have other things going on in my life, you know, then I do. But I have been writing. I've been drawing, too, which has just been fun.
Oh, yes.
So I have been engaging in creative outlets, even if it's not directly related to reaching new heights. But
that's wonderful.
That's so wonderful. That's where I am. But I genuinely would like to get a chapter out soon, before Expo, probably.
I love that. The only thing that matters is that you are engaging in the act of creation.
Exactly. Well, speaking of questions, I'm actually so gagged because what happened is that like it unfortunately I've just been like raw dogged by work, and I like totally like it until literally yesterday morning when I woke up, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta record with B tomorrow, and I forgot to put out the feeler for questions for the BBQ&A, because we can't have a BBQ&A if, you know, there's nothing to BBQ.
We can't A if there's no Q.
And so I'm like, oh shit. And so I just like put out a last minute feeler across all of our platforms, and you guys pulled through in 24 hours. I wasn't even expecting it because it's a Saturday and I know people have things to do, but I was just like, damn, y'all had me gagged. Like, we have so many questions. So what we are going to do is that we have some questions that we can really sink our teeth in and maybe have like a good few minute discussion on, and then we're gonna have a little lightning round.
Woo.
And you know, just know that we are so thankful for everyone who, you know, submitted questions for us, and maybe it's going to get a little spicy.
These all made me smile and laugh so hard. I mean, we baited the fuck out of you guys, to be fair, because we asked for ship questions. Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Things are bound to get spicy, and let's hope that they do.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe there's some hot takes in here.
Maybe.
Maybe this is the episode I get canceled on.
Every episode feels like it might be the episode we get canceled on.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we persist.
So our first question is from Tumblr. It is from Sparkly Cartoon Fairy.
We were visited in the night by the Sparkly Cartoon Fairy.
Yes. I hope it's like, I think of like the fairies from like Disney's Pixie Hollow.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Barbie ones personally.
Oh,
my favorite Winx Club girlies.
The question is, what in your opinion makes a good ship dynamic? For example, do you prefer when characters have more complementary personality types and a natural chemistry, who have an exterior obstacle they need to overcome, or characters who are complete opposites who need to overcome internal obstacles to love another?
God, I love talking about ships. Sorry, I'm getting a little heated on mic.
Oh my god. This is a heavy hitter for number one, honestly.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say right off the bat. There is a time and a place for all things. Mm-hmm. I love it all. I typically didn't used to think I was sort of like a toxic ship person. Enemies to lovers never quite got me until I watched Total Drama Island and I got dunkney-pilled. But I think that's just that specific ship. Otherwise, obviously, I love a slow burn. I think people who have an immediate spark, but for some reason or another, both internally and externally, just can't crash through the wall to reach each other yet. So that when they finally do, it's like, oh my God, floodgates open and like the whole world changes under their feet when they've been treading on it so lightly for so long. That's what I like.
It's interesting you say, enemies to lovers. We have a similar question actually from YouTube about like the enemies to lovers ship dynamics. It's like, I don't know if I'm like big on enemies to lovers, but I am into rivals to lovers.
Yeah.
You know? But I think like when it comes to ship dynamics, it really comes down to how all the dominoes are laid out. You know, I think, and also just like what you're in the mood for. I think like two people who just like complement each other really well, it can just be very fun to see them tackle something together, especially if the thing that they're tackling really tests both of them individually in different ways.
Yes.
But at the same time, like when you have like people who are kind of like night and day, it's really interesting to see them, you know, like have to find the missing link that brings them together, or at least, you know, to create some sort of amicable relationship.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, like I don't have like a strong preference because I think both, at least in this example, both of these are just really compelling in different ways.
I agree. What makes a ship dynamic good to me doesn't really, like, the obstacles you place in front of them can be exterior and interior, likely both, but what makes a good ship dynamic to me is history in some form or fashion that feels loaded and like it needs to be unpacked. And then, you know, make one of them willing to do it, make one of them unwilling to do it. Set it 10 years later when they haven't seen each other, make them confront each other. I just think I like Sonic and Amy for that reason too. I think there's a whole lot of history that's loaded between the two of them. And I think that the obstacle of even like beginning to understand how to approach that is really compelling, let alone if there are things that are stopping them exterior to the journey that are stopping them from being able to approach that.
Thank you so much. That was a really good question.
Yeah.
So good.
So delicious. Mm, so good.
Yeah.
In a similar vein, which we were talking about, enemies, rivals to lovers, and tropes, we got a question on YouTube from Gunner Guru.
Yes.
And what's the opinion on ship dynamics such as enemies slash rivals to lovers? And I think, like, let's talk about tropes here, too, Straub. So you said you like rivals to lovers. I like rivals to lovers, too. I love some competition.
I think it's because, like, so with my OCs, and these are not Sonic OCs, these are just like my OCs, I would do you know, text-based role play with some friends, like especially back in high school, and we did a lot of rivals to lovers stuff.
Oh my god, wait, do you feel comfortable like telling a little bit about it, like what do you remember being like, oh my god, this is so delicious when like these two characters of ours like competed in the Dark Angel trials or whatever?
Oh my gosh, we had like some Hero AU stuff where it was basically like my OC, she wasn't a reporter, but she was basically just this like vigilante scientist who would go and examine monster carcasses after the heroes had like, you know, fought them. My friend's character, there was basically a rival between like rivalry between my character and then my friend's character, who was one of the heroes in question, because it's like, oh, you are interfering and with my work and putting yourself in a dangerous situation. But my character's like, no, it's for science.
It's for science.
Yes, it's for science. That is kind of how I became really good at quippy banter, because our characters had a lot of banter between each other.
Okay, wait, that's some advice right there. You want to get good at quippy banter, do some rivals to lovers text face roleplay.
Yes, yes. Oh my god, it's so delicious. It's so fun. Honestly, I actually think more people should do text-based roleplay.
Oh, and like 100%.
Do the paragraphs. Don't go big or go home. It's so good.
It's so fun. Yeah. Some of my favorite writing has come out of my text-based roleplay paragraphs. Yes. Anyway. Yeah. I like Rivals to Lovers. I think my favorite is actually like Irredeemable to Lovers. A character who is really views themselves as unlovable, and paired with somebody who's like loving you is very easy. Actually,
see, when you said irredeemable, I was
not
like...
as in like morally gray bad, but I do love a morally gray bad boy too. They're all so good, come on. But I mean, like, a character, I think a lot of people, myself included, feel fundamentally flawed in some way or another. And so I think when somebody can see a person as like complete and beautiful, when that other character just feels like I will never be anything other than what I am, which I view as something inherently lesser. I in terms of other tropes though, I'm not a huge friends to lovers personally. I like transcendent love between friends to be transcendent love between friends. I think there is so much love between friends, and I kind of like to keep that as it is. I don't know. I love Oops, Only One Bed. I love... gosh, I mean, there's a lot of tropes in What Was Stolen. I love, like, oops, we're stuck in a tight corner. I love, like, kiss me so we don't get caught. What other tropes? What about you, Straubs? Outside of relationship tropes.
I'm literally just blanking on tropes right now.
I'm sure we'll touch on more.
Yeah, we'll find one.
Thank you, Gunner Guru, for your question.
Next question is from Twitter, and it's from Reaverbot. Yay! How important to you are ships in terms of canon? Have you ever become less interested or outright dropped something because the quote-unquote wrong ship got canonized in your eyes? Ooh, it's this really is spicy. This really like, interesting. You understood the assignment, honestly. I always understand the assignment.
Anytime you bring canon into it, things are gonna get spicy. We're talking about canon?
Canon?
Rip my heart out. Eat it. Tear me apart.
I'm the kind of person where I am just like, no, in my head, it's right. Therefore, I will persist. You know, like, yeah. I mean, I think it really depends on how the narrative of the canon pushes the unexpected ship, if that makes sense. But like, I don't know. I'm also not really like, I'm not beholden to canon.
Yeah. Canon exists so that I can take what I want and leave what I don't want. And so I don't think there's really anything that it could do to sort of crush my interest. And in fact, like, the less the less a ship is canonized, the more space there is for me to find it so delicious, because it, yes. I can play with it. I can make up what I want to. I can take the small moments, the small crumbs, and turn them into whole feasts. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was sucky when Duncan and Gwen got together in season 3, but I'm going to use that plot point in my fan fiction and have them talk about it, because it happened. Yeah. It's interesting. And it's just like another obstacle in the storyline that can be used for drama. So yeah, like maybe it broke my heart in the moment. But then when I think about, oh, but how can I turn that into something so delectable?
Yeah.
I get excited again.
Yeah. You know, like I just think that the gaps that are left, you know, within canon material is like, it's to me, it's not empty. To me, it's just opportunity.
Yeah.
And honestly, I also just feel like maybe when I was younger, I, you know, was a little more staunch about adhering to canon. But I feel like seeing those gaps as opportunity, it feels healthier for mm-hmm. me and my relationship with the material. I've just never been beholden to like canon. If I just feel like, hey, like if a choice doesn't land with me, I can ignore it and move on.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I see a world, hypothetical people, don't come for me, where Sonic and Shadow are canonized, right? It happens. They're canon. And I lose interest in San Amy. Because what I do at that point is I continue to write my AUs. Like, I like to take them out of the space and explore them in other places. And, like, the one sort of canon fic that I'm interested in writing is in the Boomverse. And, like, that is done. That is what it is. So, like,
yes,
just take the pieces of it that feel like the playground. And if ever the, you know, Sonic and Shadow canon world feels like a playground I'd be interested in for any reason, shipping or otherwise, then I would, you know, take those dolls and play in that dollhouse. But I don't have to. I don't have to play in any dollhouse I don't want to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, actually, like, if Sonic and Shadow were canon, like, I would be legitimately gagged.
Right. We're talking in a hypothetical world.
Yes. This hypothetical world of yours has me gagged. Yeah, thank you so much. That was a really good question. I like that. Our next question is from Tumblr, and it's from Lucario Writes. This is more of a general shipping question, but do you prefer stories where the two or more being shipped are already in a relationship, or stories where them getting together is endgame?
I think I've said this on the pod before, but maybe not. And this is a tool, not a law. But I had a professor at school tell the class that the story ends at the beginning of the relationship. And that's, you know, the romance genre. That's why Bridgerton abandons its main character to move on to the next sibling for the next bit of fun. Like, that is definitely a thing. And perhaps the more prominent thing, but again, that's a tool and not a law.
Yeah, it has to do, I think, with like the journey of the story itself. You know, stories where characters are falling in love with each other, I think it's just a little more obvious to see the story and the narrative of them versus like if they are already together.
Yeah, it's a very clear arc.
Yeah, but I would imagine that if the story is about characters that are already together, then it puts them in some sort of trial that tests their relationship.
Yeah.
And that they come out either stronger together, or maybe it doesn't pan out. Who knows? Depends how the story goes. But I do think, maybe generally speaking, I kind of prefer seeing the romance, but I think if the concept's compelling enough to see an established romantic, you know, ship go through something, if it's interesting enough, like, I would give it a shot.
Totally. I think there's exceptional depth to be gleaned from a story about two people who love each other and go through something and come out on the other side different, worse, or better. But I do think maybe it takes a bit more of a skilled hand and some nuance to dive in to a relationship that has already been established personally. That's just me.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Where Drago. Hi, Where Drago on Discord. This is a wild question. How would you handle a human ex-Mobian relationship? Would you put a point on it or treat it as nothing out of the ordinary?
I feel like if you're putting a point on it, then it has to be some sort of like, oh, I don't want to say forbidden love. you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about crack ships for humans and Mobians now.
I feel like the most obvious human and Mobian relationship to me is Rouge and Topaz from Sonic X.
Okay, I can get behind that one 100%, yes. Actually. I was just thinking of, what's that freaking guy from, I think he's from Archie. He's like a human character and he's kind of a bumbling oaf sidekick character and his name is like Dr. What is it? It starts with an S. Snively. Snively X Starline.
Did you say Starline?
Yeah. Is it Starline? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Are we about to have a debate? Hold on. Can I say something?
Okay.
I think the fandom is wrong about that.
I'm gonna let you fight that one.
I just really, when I read it, I look at that and I see Starline. Because when you look at the name Celine, it's spelled the same way. It's Celine. It's not Celine.
But isn't Celine French?
You don't know if Starline is French or not. Yeah, I don't know, guys. Sorry. When I say it and when I think it in my head, it's Starline, and I don't think I'll ever be able to shake that habit. I'm sorry if you lose respect for me because of it. I'm sorry.
Comment down below if you think B is wrong.
If you've lost respect for me.
calling Starline Starline.
Starline feels really wrong to me, like in my gut, and I'm sorry to his creator, who you, of course, have final say.
That's hysterical.
This is not the last time, the first or the last time I'll ever dox Straub. It's not the first or the last time I'll ever say Starline, and you guys are just gonna have to forgive me for it and try and find a way to love me anyway.
Yeah, you know, it'll be a rocky road, but I'm willing to journey with you on this path to redemption.
Thank you so much. And that's why you're the best.
Yes.
Snively X Starline. Who else are human X?
Sonic and Elise.
Jesus Christ. Okay, to me, I can't broach it. In romance writing, I just can't. I can't do it. Because I do like to write a certain level of physical intimacy. And I'm very intentional about how I choose to describe, like, what they are touching. Is it a hand? Is it fur? Is it skin? Where do the goosebumps come? Like, where are those? Are they on the fur or on the skin? Is it quills? Is it fur? Is it, like, I'm very intentional about what I'm choosing. And I just don't know if I could handle writing the physical intimacy between like a human person and an animal Mobian
character. they're very short.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. Yeah, I don't find the act of like getting on one knee to administer a smooch very sexual. No, I don't associate like having to bend down a level.
It's hysterical.
Major romantic tension. So I think if I were ever to write it, which like, I don't know, maybe I would be putting a point on it because it would be so random and like, it would be such an outlier to what I usually write, that there would be a point on it. Cause I'd have to be like, well, why is this happening?
That's the thing. Like, I feel like if I were writing them, I would be writing them as like a dynamic duo, but not like a relationship. You know,
yeah,
just like
a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I don't know. Absolutely. That's...
Partner up, team up.
Yeah.
Kiss, I don't know.
As respectfully as possible, I do want to say that I'm just not freaky like that.
Right. And we definitely are freaky in so many other ways, but yeah. Not like that.
Just not listen, like that.
I'll put my hand up and say that as well.
But if you are, if Rouge and Topaz or Sonic and Elise, if those ships leave you empowered, go ahead.
I would think that if I was in a place where like Rouge X Topaz really, really did it for me and I'd want them to be in a relationship, I would go find, you know, somebody who's done, you know, a persona essentially of her. And I would just turn her into a Mobian, probably. And I would just like canonize her in a way like an OC as a Mobian.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Interesting. Thank you, Weird Drago. This was some serious food for thought. Oh my gosh. Next question is also from Gunner Guru on YouTube. How do you feel about OCX canon?
I feel like I come to this place for magic. I come to this place for... I come to this place to see... the specific little guys kiss. I don't come to see my guys kiss those little guys personally.
Yeah.
But I love it. If that's your cup of tea, I mean, drink deep.
Yes. I get it, like, in the sense of, like, you know, when I was, like, in middle school and, like, I really liked Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, like... I understand and I validate the self, like, at least when I think OC, I guess I will say I do think self insert, even though that is not always the case.
Yeah.
But I see the appeal, and I've been there. I don't know that I'm there now.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. But I also think that, like, if you are, like, you know, if you have this story about an OC and, like, you're really diving into it and really fleshing them out and everything and, again, making something super compelling, then, like, go for it. And, like, who knows? Like, I will never, like, exclude myself from something if it's done in an appropriate way.
I honestly like OC X OC a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I when I approach OCX canon, I feel like I know one of those characters inside and out already. But when I approach OCX OC, it's a true, you know, come as you are, learn everything with as the story wants me to. Follow up question for you, Straub. Speaking of OCX canon, okay, if you had to ship Straub's persona with a canon character, who would you pick?
I think Straub's and Knuckles had some dialogue. And
you got wait, what did she say? Sick moves, Echidna.
Yeah, nice moves, Echidna.
I am screaming a little bit about it.
Yeah, that was funny. I enjoyed writing that. You know, what about you? Who would you ship OCB with?
Let's come back to that at the end.
Yeah. We have to revisit that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to think about it and we'll come back to that. Stay tuned if you want to know while I think about it. And or, I don't know, you tell me. People in the comments, tell us.
Comment down below.
I want to hear. Comment down below. I want to hear, what are your favorite tropes? How do you feel about OCX canon? Play along
actually,
with us at home, please.
Actually begging, comment down below.
I just want to know. I love to talk about
it. Yes.
Okay.
Our next question is from Fast Clingy on YouTube. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, this one.
I just feel like it's like we're dancing closer and closer to the fire with each question.
Oh, and you know what? I'm kind of here for it. you know, it's our 1 year. We're feeling a little
spicy. I'm
going to
title this like messiest episode yet,
yeah.
Not clickbait.
I know.
Getting messy.
Yeah, and the reason why is because the question is, any way you don't like seeing San Amy portrayed.
You start, Drops. I mean, do you have thoughts on this as the person who is out of the two of us in the number two spot in terms of San Amy shipping?
I'm like so afraid to say this, genuinely.
Say it. Be brave and say it. Everybody, say it.
And it's not because of you. I think that there is a trope associated with legitimately, I need to tell you, I saw this question yesterday and like I've been rehearsing in my head how to answer it.
Oh my God, deliver your diplomatic speech.
I know.
This is where, yeah, true diplomacy comes
in. Yeah, like, so please, like, don't crucify me at the stake.
We don't do that here at the B and the
We
Berry.
Don't do
everybody,
that.
Everybody signs that agreement when they start the episode. Yes.
Yes. I think there is a trope associated with San Amy of guy running away from girl that he doesn't like. I find it to be a turn off of, like, how should I say this? Like, I think there are some moments, and of course, if I am like misremembering or misconstruing certain moments, totally okay. You know, like, it's fine. But I feel like there are a couple of moments of, like, Sonic being embarrassed by Amy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. And maybe it's because, for me, I think that, like, if a man is embarrassed to be around you, pick yourself up and throw the man away. Like, it's just, like, I don't like that. And so I don't really like stories that lean super hard into, like, oh, like, Amy's here, I gotta get away from her. Oh, no. It's like, to me, like, that's not cute. It just feels rude to her.
I agree.
And
extremely sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's just like, yeah, like, I don't really like that. That's like my big pet peeve. But I think what I want to say is that, like, there are people who do see San Amy exclusively as that trope. And I think that that is not what the ship is. I think that they've had growth where, you know, they learn to understand each other and vibe. Mm-hmm. And he's not, like, excluding her or, you know, like... I think it's just, like, moments of, like, oh, like, I gotta get out of here. Amy's being like this. And it's like, I don't like seeing that. I just, like, and because I genuinely want to say, especially if there are people listening who have not been in a relationship before, if someone treats you like that, leave them alone and move on.
Yeah, the way that I like to approach it, because I agree, like, when I look at San Amy through this lens of, like, a woman who loves him so much and a guy who cannot stand to be around her, it's so unfair to do that to your mascot female character.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just so unfair. This is the way that I like to interpret them, is that, like... he enjoys it. Like, running away from her and getting a rise out of her is part of the charm of Amy Rose. Mm. And that's why I think, like, in my canon fix, when they're older and they're unpacking it, I think there are some conversations to be had about, like, you know, it was fun. It was fun to chase each other. But actually, I do think that it's unfair for one person more than the other. Like, the way our dynamic happened. And I did everything to keep up, and I was never, ever going to, but I tried every day. And not that I wanted you to slow down, but, like, God, it would have been nice to see each other.
Yeah.
It's complex. That's why I love it. It's so complex.
I think in that way, it's like, okay, like, to take the time to examine and to have the characters, like, I guess, kind of be past it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, makes sense. But I just, like, I just would not enjoy reading something that has them kind of actively in, like,
right.
the chase dynamic in a way that just kind of feels it feels unfair to both Sonic and Amy, but it feels more unfair to Amy.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, again, like, whatever I say is, like, just ignore what I say if, like, it doesn't resonate with you.
If you're getting so mad at us right now, skip ahead yeah, a little bit. If you're getting so mad.
Yeah, like, please, like, you know, I am no authority. We are no authority.
None of us are an authority.
We are not authorities, so, like...
We're just fans and interpreters. Yep.
Yes. I also think, like, I feel comfortable in myself to share this in this space.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't like seeing Son Amy portrayed as very black and white. I think every relationship is infinitely complex, and that's what makes them interesting. And I think if there's no room for complexity in the journeys they've taken together, then I'm not really interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like seeing Amy written poorly. I guess I'll just say that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean
Yandere
just like,
Amy.
Yes, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Yeah. And again, if you like those tropes, go ahead. Like, don't let us yuck your yum. But if you had to ask us.
If you had to. I think I agree, though. Like, I would rather write Sonic loving, even if he is teasing, even if he is a little frustrated or annoyed. I just would never want to put a female character in a relationship with somebody that doesn't think the world of them.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my gosh. This next question is kind of random, but it came from our favorite president, favorite president, George Washington, all the way from the battlefield, on Tumblr. Thank you, George. Hi, George. I hope you are well.
So this is for you, B. What inspired the fantasy world of What Was Stolen?
You know, I will bring it back to tropes. I will bring it back to tropes because actually there's an infinite relational and ship tropes in the fantasy world. And I think that's what it is. I mean, Princess Thief is one of my absolute favorites. And also Princess Knight and Knight Thief and... like peasant thief. I don't know, there's just so many archetypes that you can pair together that are so interesting, just in terms of hierarchy and power dynamics and positioning, the ability to move about in the world.
Weren't you inspired by Robin Hood?
Of course, I love Robin Hood, one of my absolute favorite heartthrobs in the entire world. I love it. I loved the idea of Amy as a princess and Sonic as a thief. I just couldn't get that idea out of my head. Mm-hmm. I think those archetypes fit them extremely well. Yeah, and then I just love the character archetypes. I love a knight. I love a righteous fight. I love a war. I love like a woman changing the world.
Yes.
But I don't know. I just really see Sonic and Amy as Princess and Thief. I just do.
Mm-hmm. No, it's... I think, like, the roles that you have all the characters in, like, they just make total sense. Thank you, George. We appreciate you.
Thank you, George. Yeah.
So, this one is from Anonymous on Tumblr.
Hi, Anonymous.
Hi.
We see you.
Hello, not shipping, but still love advice related. Did you guys meet your partners before or after you discovered your love for Sonic? And what was their reaction?
This is really a fun question.
Because you've known your husband for a very long time.
I have. I definitely fell in love with Sonic first.
So he knew what he was signing up for.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is I think I'm an extremely intense person, period. And I don't do anything half. I just simply can't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my love for Sonic, it's just like a thing I knew I was going to have for the rest of my life. And so I met my Mr. B. And I think it just comes up very naturally when you're meeting someone and you're talking to somebody, like, what interests you? What do you like? What are you watching? Like, let's talk about things. Show me the things you enjoy. I want to enjoy those too. And a good partner will always want to enjoy the things you enjoy with you. So it's like, oh, you know, I'm talking about things I love, things that really shaped me. We're going to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. And so I think he knew I really liked Sonic the Hedgehog. And then after we were dating in a few months, it's like, okay, but I really like Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. And you need to know this because I'm going to be sitting around, you know, in the evening while you're playing your games. And I'm going to be typing. I'm going to be writing fan fiction. And you also should know, like, at that time, I definitely had maybe 300 to 500 followers on Tumblr as well. Like, you should know that I do this because I love it, but I also do this because people desire it. Like, there's an audience that I interact with. And so this is a social part of my life that you should know, because it is a social part of my life. And again, you should know all this so that you can make an informed choice about if you like me or not.
Yeah.
And I was, I mean, he did. Because I think it's a delightful part of me, and I think it's probably a delightful part of you, Anonymous. So I wouldn't be afraid. I wouldn't be afraid at all.
I think, and, you know, the right person will, like, accept you, you know, for your... I think, like, I was, like, thinking about this when I read this question last night, and I was just like, man, like, I could never date someone who doesn't play video games. You know, right. But like, I think, like, because the thing is, I met my boyfriend in college, and, you know, we started dating like the last year, but like, it was after that. So what happened was, is that it was, we had just graduated, and he was doing a program to basically be abroad in Spain. And so during that time, we were, you know, long distance for a year, where literally, like, different time zones and stuff. And it was during that time that I kind of, like, I got a Switch, and, like, I ended up, like, I was looking for games, and I saw Frontiers on sale for, like, $40, and I just picked it up, and I started getting immersed. And, I mean, at first, I think I was a little reluctant to share too much about it, but, like, I think, I don't know, like, now, like, we're so, like, chill. Of course, like, you have to do things, you know, that are true to yourself. And again, the right person is going to love and encourage you to pursue your passions in a way that make you feel good. And a way that brings you joy. And, like, you know, I just think that it's about, like, having someone who supports you in, like, the biggest way possible.
Yeah, you guys should want to share your joys with each other for sure. But I get that it can be scary. I totally get.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question.
Thank you,
Anonymous. That was a very cool question.
Yes.
And with that, it's lightning round.
Yes, we have our lightning round questions.
Yes, we're going to blow through these, but this lightning round features questions from Fernanda the Storyteller, Where Drago, Lucario Writes, a couple anonymous people, Melodillo, Dove, Valk 2003, Fast Clingy, M. Axel Z, and I think that's everybody. So thank you guys for these. We've looped all these together because these are Sonic character specific. If you want to hear our questions about a hyper specific ship, here it comes.
Yes. First one, if you could pick one ship to become a canon ship, which would it be and why is it Vectilla?
I think that's a good one. I think that's totally a good one.
Okay, if your man doesn't look at you like Vector looks at Vanilla, get him out of here.
I think that's like one that is safe, you know? That's not going to blow up the world.
No,
and we can all gather behind the power of Vectilla. I think you're right.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think, I feel like Vectilla is canon. I think there was a panel in IDW or something where, you know, they're very much like, you know, in love, feeling each other. So yes, Vectilla, if I had to choose one ship to become canon, it would be Vectilla. Because I think like 90% of people in the fandom ship it. And also like, what's not to love about it?
Yeah, that feels safe to me. Okay, if you had to pick a ship that wasn't Vectilla, Straubs.
Do you have one?
I think I would canonize Silves. I think they also feel kind of safe, and I do like them. I feel like their intimacy is close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it would make some waves, but I think that's what I would pick.
Yeah. I think I...
And don't come at me for not saying Sanemi. I would rather have my playground wide, wide, wide open, personally.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think I have to agree with Sylvie's.
Oh, you know what else I would do? I would do Whisper Entangle.
Yes. 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 Yeah. 100%. Yes, yes, yes. There we go.
Love that.
All right. Yeah. Next question. What is the biggest ship you've used in a story? The largest I can think of is off the cuff is the Death Egg, but the flying battery or gunned aircraft carriers are impressive too.
Oh man. I mean, do you have a ship in the story? Does that count? The tornado? Does the tornado count as a ship?
Yeah, for right now, the tornado is the biggest one. If there's, you know, if another one comes up in Reaching New Heights.
I think I've used a boat in a Sonic story, but Courtney is delivered back to the island for the Total Drama reunion via boat in the same way that she arrived. They all arrived. So that's a boat.
Hell yeah.
That's a ship.
Okay. Next one. Thoughts on Sonurge, which is Sonic and Surge. It's kind of spicy.
I don't know if I feel anything in my heart for them personally. Yeah. Not in a bad way. Obviously, let them exist, but I got no thoughts or feelings. I like Surge and Amy, certainly.
Yeah. I feel like Sonurge could like itch like a toxic romance itch for someone. But maybe that's just... I have not engaged in Sonurge stuff. So like, I'm wrong and that's not what it's about, don't listen to me. But when you tell me about these two characters being together, I'm thinking it's a little toxic.
I think Surge can't help but be a little toxic.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Surge is for toxicity. Yeah. Incredible. Okay, next. Who in the cast are big spoons in bed and who are little spoons? This one made me laugh a lot.
I kind of think Sonic's a little spoon.
I think Sonic and Amy to me are verse. I think typically Sonic big spoons, but I think he does also love to be a little spoon on occasion. I think Shadow is a big spoon. I think Silver is a little spoon.
Silver is a little spoon and Blaze is a big spoon.
I think Blaze is a big spoon. I think Knuckles is a big spoon.
Yeah.
I think Eggman is... I think Eggman is a... God, I think Eggman is...
Eggman is a little spoon.
I think Eggman is a big spoon and Stone is a little spoon. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree, actually. Carry on.
Okay.
But no, I think Stone would be the big spoon and Eggman the little spoon. Because Stone is always taking care of Eggman.
I know, but I think that Stone is baby girl.
I hear you, but like the thing is that like literally like Stone would like dress this man, like Stone nursed this man back to health. So I just feel like Stone would be the big spoon. comment down below who is the big spoon and who is the little spoon.
Let me make my final argument. Picture this. It's a long day of Eggman being toxic to Stone, you know, demanding his coffees, throwing them away, being a cranky baby asshole toddler, forgetting he exists, hating on him, whatever. And then at the end of the day, they climb into bed and the way Eggman shows his love, big spoon. No words exchanged, only big spoon. Come on!
That's so specific.
Come on! on. Oh, comment down below if you see my vision.
Comment down below who was the big spoon and who was the little spoon. Whispangle, I think Tangle's the big spoon. And
Tangle, big spoon for sure. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it on my end. I can't really think.
Great, great questions.
Thank you.
I love that.
another anonymous question. What do you think of Shad Amy? And is that based off of canon or like fanon?
Shad Amy is 5 stars for me. Yes. Maybe 6 stars out of 5. I love Shad Amy. I really, really do. I do.
Can I say something really controversial?
I know what you're going to say, and you're allowed to say it. And I also agree on some levels. Yeah, say it. No, we're drawing the line here. Don't say your controversial thing. This is where we stop.
Yeah. Pause the episode if you still want to like me after this.
Oh, my God.
I think that Shad Amy hits the spot for me a little more than Son Amy.
Yeah, fair enough. I have many spots, and all of them can be hit by a plethora of things, but that's why I do also think I agree. Shad Amy does hit the spot.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about just, like, brooding guy with sweet girl. It just,
Especially, and I think that, you know, to take it into the canon or fandom, I like the way fandom depicts them. I really do. But the canon, it's just this history for Shadow of, like, closed off. Not even the whole innocence thing, but just like it takes somebody who still believes in humanity, who happens to be like a sweet girl, to open him back up to the world. And that's like, that is his history. That's his actual history. And so I think it's really, really, it gets me right in the feels when Amy is the one person who can, you know, show him the light.
I just like when it's like, you know, Shadow is just being mean and brooding to everyone else. But I think on some level, like with Amy, like there's
a tenderness.
Like, yeah. A little more tenderness.
A gentility. A willingness. Yes. Yeah. Oh, God.
Ugh. Oh, it's so good.
I'm getting heated on mic again. It's good. Thank you.
Okay. Next question. Who would you ship Whisper with? Obviously, people put her with Tangle, but if you had to pick someone else, who would be your next choice?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Do you have an instinct, Strauss?
I don't know. I don't think so, honestly.
I just do think, Tangle's great. I know there are some Wispespio? Wispio? SBO Whisper.
Whisper and SBO. There are some
Whisper SBO people, right?
I've actually seen
Whisper. Oh, no, it's Wispilver. It's Wispilver. Yes, yes. Wait, okay. Is it Tangle and SBO then? Yes. I've seen Wispilver out there. I'm not opposed to it, but like, I see your Wispilver and I raise you Wispays?
I like that actually.
The quiet girlies, but I think that they can hold hands and feel bolstered by each other's presence. I don't know if they have to have the words. I think they convey everything they need to with their eye contact. With an intentional hand on their shoulder. I could see Lanolin. I think anybody in the sort of resistance group could work for her.
And the Diamond Cutters, yeah.
Yes, the Diamond Cutters. Next, Julex Lanolin. This isn't a question, it's a fact. Yeah, sure, I agree.
Yeah,
I like them. I like them for sure.
Yeah, my gosh.
I see it too. I see the vision.
I see, yeah, I totally see the vision. Next one, how do you feel about the recent popularity of Metal and Amy?
Can I be honest? This is another 5 out of 5 stars for me, guys.
Yeah.
This is another 5 out of 5 stars for me.
I've seen some
Here's the thing
really
that I
cool
love
art.
About... Yes, I do think that the fanon is really turning them into something compelling that I wouldn't think about, but makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And I tweeted a tweet about this, or whatever the blue sky version of that is, a sky tweet, that... I do really like the idea that something in Metal's code is obsessed with Amy, like something inherent to his coding, like is directed towards her containment. I love that. I think in a way, maybe Met Amy is the toxic Amy ship for me. Ooh. In that this is an obsessive thing who needs soothing.
Yes.
But I do like it. I do like it a lot.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Favorite Sonic ship besides Son Amy?
Shad Amy.
Yeah.
Son Amy Shad a little bit.
Vectilla.
For me, it honestly might be a throuple, guys. And I like it.
I love that, honestly.
Okay, thank you. thank you for supporting me.
I support you.
Sorry. I love a little Son Amy Shad.
Yeah, I don't know. Vectilla really hits the spot for me. It's so cute. Also, like, shout out to Espilver. Like, I see the vision. Mm.
It's hard. It's hard to be in a small army. You really have to pull your weight. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
What would you both say are your favorite relationships across any media, Sonic included? Girls, you already know what I'm going to say. Say it with me, girls. Dunk me. It's actually the first ship in so long that has gotten me to write something that is not Sonic the Hedgehog.
Aww.
Growing up, I loved Mike and Julie from oh my God, what's it called? Motor City. They were super cool. And I also loved Kitty X Lance from Sonic Evolution. Jesus Christ. X-Men Evolution. Mm-hmm. they were toxic. I did like them. He was a bad guy. Oh, Big Miraculous Head. Love all the iterations of, you know.
That is so interesting. I didn't know you watched Miraculous.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know this about you.
That's crazy. Yeah, absolutely. A miraculous girly.
Oh my God. You know, like, that show really just, like, I remember when the pilot came out. And so I think, like, there is always, like, a part of me that longs for the pilot version of things.
Yeah.
This is so obscure. There's this anime that I watched called Princess Tutu.
I have seen that. I've seen a few episodes of that.
You've seen Princess Tutu?
I haven't watched all of it, but yes, I have seen a handful of the first episodes.
Yeah, so I do like Ahiru and Fakir.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Those two kind of just hit the spot for me. Percy Jackson and Annabeth, classic.
I can't forget Musa and Riven, yet another terrible guy. Uh-oh, I think I like more toxicity than I thought I did.
wait, okay. But, like, can we make space for Zutara?
Yeah, of course we can make space on the pod Zutara. For Zutara. Okay, that tracks. That tracks for you for sure.
Yes. Yeah, no, there is... There's a pattern. I don't know. I'm sure there's, like, definitely, like, more ships that, like, I love, but I just haven't, like, engaged with in a hot minute. Oh, and in Deltarune, I really love Susie and Noelle. They are endgame for me. Please. Oh, my gosh. B hasn't played Deltarune, so comment down below if you think B should play Deltarune. So sorry, that was pretty long in our lightning round.
I know, it's so fun to talk about though. Great. I know. Question.
Your favorite Sonic crack ship?
I don't think I have any crack ships really.
I have a really good one.
Please say it.
Black Doom and Gerald.
How? I mean, they did make Shadow.
I have to send you this. This is, like, what did it for me. If you want to put it on the screen at some point.
Okay, I will. I don't know what's about to come my way. She sends me the craziest things, guys.
I do.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I am going to flash it on the screen, but be warned. This is a meme I've seen before, though.
Yes, it's a meme.
Oh, my God.
But it's so funny.
Jesus Christ. I don't know if it counts as crack ship, but I like Manic out in the world. I don't have anybody I ship him with specifically, but I do think he's a highly romanceable NPC. I don't know who would romance him with, but oh. I like putting him out in the world.
Sonic and Chili Dog's another good one.
Who do I ride for? I don't know. I'm boring and heterosexual, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's the worst thing about me. I know that.
Crackship, I feel like Eggman and Starline.
Oh my God.
For me. It's not like a really serious thing for me, but I can see a dynamic. I can see a dynamic there. Maybe it doesn't count as a crackship. Sorry to people who ship Eggman and Starline.
I want like Starline and Espio.
Huh?
Yeah, don't ask. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Talk to me, okay?
I've just never heard that before. I'll take your
word for it. Don't talk to me.
Oh my God. But
well,
yeah.
We've made it through. Tell us your crack ships. Tell us your favorite ships. Tell us what opinions we were super wrong about, and tell us which ones we were super right about. I hope you had fun. This episode was fun for me.
It was fun for me. I had a blast.
I think long awaited, you know, I promised it would come, and here's the thought. I think I would ship B with potentially Metal Sonic. I could see. And of course, Knuckles. That's right. It's a love triangle.
Damn.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's so funny.
Or not.
or B and Vector.
Oh, God. If she's going for anybody in the agency, it's Espio for sure.
That's so funny. I think B and Espio would vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, I see that vision.
Yeah.
Beast-bio.
Beast-bio. Espibi.
Metal B. What is it? What are we? B-nuck straws. Nuck strawberry.
Oh my God.
Okay. We've lost it.
Yeah, we've lost the plot. Yeah,
I think
I'm
it
sure...
does have to be nuck straw B.
Yes.
Love it.
That's hysterical.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, if anyone wants to add to the Bee and the Berry lore, by all means, tell us.
We'll let the people decide. You vote. You vote what your favorite is. Leave it to the people.
Yes.
And because we trust them and we love them and we want to thank them so much for being here. Let's bring it back around. Yes, to our 1 year with you. 1 year because of you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Don't forget to like and subscribe and comment down below. Follow us on our different social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Tumblr, Blue Sky, Instagram, and TikTok. And here's to another year and many more. And we hope that you know, you'll stick around and listen in as we have some exciting stuff for you planned.
Yes, we've got so many great things to come and so many great things behind us. And we're super, super thankful for you guys. And of course, as we say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry,
but especially on this episode.
Yes.
It may not be canon, but it is correct.
Ciao, bellas. Ciao, girls. Ciao, ciao, ciao.